So when does something change so fundamentally from what it was originally that it no longer is what it originally was, even if it still has the same name? Take, for example, a certain TV show. You know, for decades now, there have been those who debated that the version of Star Trek produced today isn't still Star Trek, but it's something else with the same name. So a quick history lesson. What you're seeing in front of you is two clips from the original 1960s TV show. It ran from 1966 to 1969. William Shatner, Leonard Nimoy, all the rest. And then the show was canceled after three seasons. But in 1971, we got the Star Trek animated series cartoon. They actually took and drew right over the pictures of the Enterprise. So looked the same. Everyone looked the same except they were drawn. And we got a couple cartoon characters added into the mix. And then in 1979, they came back and made a movie. And the Enterprise changed a lot. And then they made another movie with Ricardo Montalban and his plastic chest. And then in the third movie, they blew up the Enterprise. And they went searching for Spock, who had died in the second movie. And he came back and they borrowed a story from Christianity about resurrection. Then they moved on to the fourth movie, where they came back to 1987 Earth and looked for whales. And they got a new Enterprise. And then we move on. Spock and his brother and Captain Kirk's ego, or William Shatner's ego, go looking for God. And then the sixth and final movie, they make peace with the Russians. I mean the Klingons. And, okay, then yeah, the next slide. So that was Star Trek from 1966 to 1991. And there's other versions of it, and we're going to talk about those. I got two more Sundays this month. But the question is it still Star Trek? There are those who would say that it ended with the TV series. You know, there's these people out there called Trekkies. And they will debate to the smallest detail anything about the universe of Star Trek. They can tell you how the warp drive works. And some are going, what's warp drive? That's how the Enterprise gets from one planet to the other over the course of a commercial break. They can tell you the theory behind the transporter, you know, where you step on the pad and you disappear and you show up on the planet because, well, that's cheaper than making the little shuttle model land on the planet. But they can tell you the theory, you know, they can tell you how it works. They can tell you what color of underwear Captain Kirk wears, white. Or they can even tell you what was served for lunch on the day that the Tribbles infested the Enterprise, chicken sandwiches and coffee. And some of these Trekkies will tell you that any Star Trek made after the original series was made isn't Star Trek. That it's something else. The Enterprise is different, and the uniform, and it's not really about grand morals anymore. It's just about adventure and, you know, gone and those kind of things, instead of, you know, telling us a moral every week. There are others that'll say, well, you know, the animated series, yeah, Roddenberry was really involved with that. And the first movie, well, he wrote that. So, you know, that's Star Trek because, you know, it has Roddenberry. But the rest of those movies, well, no, because that was somebody else. And then there are even some, you know, some who'll say, well, you know, after the third movie, they blew up the Enterprise. And, well, Star Trek's about the Enterprise. So how can you have Star Trek without the Enterprise? And on and on and on. And let's not even get into the spinoffs, you know, Next Gen and Deep Space Nine and Voyager and Enterprise. And some say those aren't Enterprise or those aren't Star Trek. And let's not even get into that movie, that new movie where someone else plays Captain Kirk. And the Trekkies will debate ad infinitum about this. If you go on, there's a website called the Trek BBS. And that's, you can see me haunting that place every once in a while. They really are. I mean, there's people that say Star Trek died in 1979 after the first movie. And others say, you know, it goes on. There's others, oh my gosh, it just ruined my childhood seeing it changed. But to the average person on the street, what? It's, yeah, they look at, I mean, Shatner's a little older and Scotty's a little fatter and, you know, Chekhov's a little grayer. But they're still, you know, Star Trek. And someone's going, hold it. This is church, not Comic-Con. What are we talking about Star Trek about? Well, that's the purpose of an analogy, isn't it? Using something simple to wrap your mind around something greater. In this case, the something simple is that question. Is it still Star Trek? And the truth is, most people would look at it and say, yeah, of course. Star Trek, you know, it's Star Trek as long as there's the Enterprise and Captain Kirk and the guy at the ears and that guy who's on Facebook all the time. And Yoda. Don't forget Yoda. And then, of course, I'd have to correct him because Yoda's not, that's part of Star Wars. But for the Trekkie, that question is so much more difficult. Well, for the average person, my question today is it still the church? What do I mean by that? I mean, is what the church is today in 2013 still the church? At the end of the 19th century, a religious leader named Daniel Warner, who is the teacher that we can draw the beginning of our own movement back to, was going around preaching that any denomination of the church, Methodist, Catholics, Baptist, Episcopal, you name it, if it was the denomination, if they had their own rules, their own theology, their own doctrine, that truly wasn't the church. But it was something merely calling itself the church. Much like some would say that that movie that's coming out may call itself Star Trek, but it really isn't. Well, Warner was saying there's these institutions calling themselves the Church of God or calling themselves God's church, but they really aren't. And he was calling those who were part of those organizations, the Methodists, the Catholics, the Baptists, the Episcopals, the whatever, to come out of those churches. Because those churches, according to Warner, were teaching that in order to come to God, you had to accept our teaching in addition to accepting Christ. You had to accept our teaching about who Christ is, and you had to accept our teaching about what baptism is, and you had to accept our teaching about what salvation is. And you had to be baptized in our church in order to come to Christ. And his answer was no. Come out of that and simply worship Christ. So they weren't the church. Today, 2013. Remember, that was the end of the 19th century. So today, 2013, is it still the church? Is there a simple answer? We're way ahead, Doug. Is there a simple answer, yes or no? Just like Star Trek has its Trekkies to make things more complicated, the church has its theologians. And theologians spend time arguing about the deep questions of the faith. They want to know what it's meant by such terms as the bride of Christ, or the body of Christ, and the true Israel, which are all theological terms, terms from the Bible, defining the church. It's the theologians that the pastors turn to so that pastors can have a deeper understanding of Scripture when they're speaking to the people. Of course, the theologians take the simple and make it more complicated. But then we can take, but it helps us to take the complicated and explain it simply. When I was preparing for this, I discovered one of my theology books had made it all the way to Korea. It may be in BC right now, but it was in Korea when I started this. So I wound up getting the Kindle version. But reading Kindle? Yeah. No, Nook. One of those e-readers. And I think it helped. I guess she'll tell me at the end of the sermon, whether it's helping me to describe it more simply. But one thing the theologians taught me is that the church as we know it, when I say the church of God, I don't mean the Anderson, Indiana Church of God. I mean the church of God didn't begin until Pentecost. And you can find the story of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house that they were sitting. Then they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire separated and came unto rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation in heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? There's Parthians and Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. And we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Jumping ahead to verse 42, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. And the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." And that is the beginning of the church. So how do we know whether or not, some 2,000 years later, whether or not it is still the church? Well, let's look at the definition of the church.
What is the church? Is the church a building? Is the church a pastor? Or the staff? Is the church the music? The tradition? Or the ministries? These are all good things, but they are not the church. Take them away, and the church is still here. Why? Because you are still here. The church is you. The church is you with a purpose. The church is you on a mission. The church is you with a plan, a simple plan to plug into God at a weekend service, to charge up in a small group community, to live out using your gifts and passions, and to pass on your faith to those who do not know Christ. When you and I live like this, all the things we used to do in church become things we do as the church. God desires it. The world needs it. And we are called to be it. What is the church? The church is you.
So what isn't the church? It isn't the pastor. It isn't the building. It isn't the staff. It isn't the music, the tradition, or the ministries. All those things are good. But if you take them away, the church still exists. You know, the world is, that's what they see the church as being. The world sees the church as that building down the street. The church is the pastors and the priests and the teachers and the other leaders. That's what they see. The world sees the church as that place for boring music and boring sermons. But the church is still the church without all of those things. Is the theologian's answer would be yes, the church still exists without all those things, but it's complicated. Those things rise up naturally in the fellowship of believers and in the gathering known as the church. But those things are not, by definition, the church. Your simple answer is obviously yes. The church will go on without those things. But if you remove those things, then what is it? The church is the believers. As he said in the video, the church is you. You are the church, the followers of Christ. A believer is somebody who has chosen to follow Christ and to live by his teachings. There is a difference between believing in Jesus and following Jesus. James, the brother of Jesus, put it this way in his letter to the believers, chapter 2, verse 14. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such a faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without food, without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that, and they shudder. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was it not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God and was credited to him as righteous. And he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. If you merely believe, then I would contend that if you don't follow, you're not a part of the church. If you only believe and you don't actually follow Jesus' teachings, if you don't have works, then you're not a part of the church. The church is the individual believers, the followers of Jesus. These believers have an individual mission. Jesus told his followers in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to 46, that his judgment would be based on how we treat others, how we help the least of these. So our mission is to teach others and to help others. That is the path we have been set upon. That is the mission of the church. When the church comes together in these places that our culture calls churches, we come together to charge up, to encourage one another, to teach each other, and to prepare each other to go back out into the world, to use the gifts that God has given us, and then to pass on our faith to others. What is the church? The better question is, who is the church? Because the church is you. So when is it not still the church? I would say it is not the church when the focus becomes on any of these things: music, teaching, staff, building, politics, legalism, liturgy. Liturgy, if you don't know it, that's following a specific set of teachings, saying our service is going to be like this this week and like this next week. That was the trouble the Jews were getting into between the Old Testament and New Testament times, is that they were following the pattern, and that became their religion instead of focusing on God. When the church becomes only these things, then it's not still the church. When somebody comes to be entertained, then it is not the church. When teaching becomes academic, and when teaching becomes an end unto itself, it is not the church. When leaders become more important than the message, it is not the church. When the focus of the church becomes the building and not the mission, then it is not the church. If there is a specific point on the spectrum that says, you know, if you go this far, you're still the church, but if you step over, you're not, I'm not aware of it. But I can tell you when you've stepped over the line. The answer probably isn't precise that if you go A, B, C, you're good. If you go to D, not anymore. But when what you say, when what you sing, when how you dress, whether you have tattoos or not, how your hair looks, how you think and how you vote become more important than how you can shine your light in the world, then you're no longer the church. When on Sunday the church building is full, but of the rest of the week the church cannot be seen, when that is being hidden in these walls and not being taken out there, you are no longer the church. When the church becomes the judge, taking the role from God, you are no longer the church. And when the church stops sharing the faith and instead shares a lifestyle, you are no longer the church. When the purpose, plan, and mission are gone, the church is gone. So, is it still the church? Is it about the people or the organization? Is it about service to the community or service to the organization? Is it about God, or has the organization become God? You have to answer that yourself. And then you'll know if it is still the church. Here is the building, and here is the steeple. Look inside, and you'll see the church.